Hello and welcome to Cinema Joes, where three average Joes discuss the significant topics in movie culture. I am your host, Alex Marcus, and when I am not talking to you about movies, I am podcast editor for thepodbreak.com. And with me, as always, is co-host of Podwork Angels, a Rush podcast, and the man who is single-handedly trying to bring back White Boy Summer, it's Noah France. How's it going, Noah?
What is with that add-on to my title? Is that my...
Don't try to deny it. We all know this is true.
All right, fair enough. I started this recording dancing, but the audience can't see it. It's their loss.
And of course, I'm also happy to welcome back onto the podcast after he was briefly fallen into a multiversal hole. It's Podwork Angels co-host Justin Mancini. How are you today, Justin?
Hey, I'm doing pretty well, considering.
To be clear, he's talking about a bagel hole.
Of course.
We were touring many multiverses over the last month, but what's exciting about that is that we are about to tour the summer now with our very special summer movie preview. This is an episode that we always like to do every year, but many years we have not been able to during the COVID pandemic, but we still are dealing with pandemic stuff, but movies are going still. So we are having our preview anyway, because there are many, many films coming out over the next few months that we are excited about, many films that we bet you have never heard of and may never heard of even once the summer is over, because these things tend to fall through the cracks. But I'm excited to dive into all of it now. So without further ado, I wanted to first briefly talk to you guys about how you're feeling about the summer's movie season now that we're supposedly getting a proper movie season for the first time in a few years. Justin, let's start with you.
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I feel like I'm not super excited about this summer compared to other ones. There are certain movies that look really interesting and others that I'm just like, wow, that's a thing. That's a movie that's coming out. Okay. I'm sure. I mean, I'm glad that people got paid to do it. But it's like, there's nothing about it that's remotely appealing to me. So yeah. I don't know. I really feel like as we go through, maybe more will sort of reveal themselves as we talk. But right now, I feel like there are certain ones that really stand out to me, and a lot of just, you know, a lot of stuff that just on face value anyway, doesn't really strike me as appealing. But who knows? We'll wait to see. I'm sure I'll catch up with a lot of them in, you know, spring of 2023. So
I got to second that. There's a lot of titles on this list that doesn't elicit anything more for me than just a deep beleaguered sigh.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I mean, the thing, we always do two movie preview episodes, right? We do our summer movie preview and we do our fall movie preview. And summer is usually the time for fun and big blockbusters and franchises and tentpoles. And fall is when we have like all of our favorite movies come out, right? And this year there is surprisingly not as many fun big budget movies coming as you would have expected. You know, we had a big kind of glut of films that were delayed for a number of years due to the pandemic with the theater closings and everything. Those have slowly started to trickle out. Many of them have finally been released this summer. The rest of them are pretty much being released, but you would think that that would mean that we would have kind of a glut of movies of that caliber to be talking about. And really is not the case. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to get into what is jumping out at you, because for me personally, number of movies on this list are things that I feel many people won't end up seeing, but actually seem pretty interesting, and a lot of sort of attempts to grab onto the culture of big budget movies on a smaller, more intimate scale, which is the sort of thing that I feel like we're always asking for. But the fact that none of those movies that are on this list have any real buzz or conversation now, only a month or two before their release, makes me wonder if anyone even knows they exist. And if they don't know they exist, will anybody watch them? So I think that's going to be an interesting trend to keep an eye on. But now let's go into a little bit more specifics by talking about May, right? We're going to go through each and every month, May, June, July, and August.
That's our summer movie season. The lusty month of May.
And of course, we are recording this on May 1st, but you guys won't be listening to this until after our Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness episode has been released. So that is the official, unofficial kickstart of the summer movie season. And you'll hear what we had to say about that. So let's jump right over to the next movie that I think everyone is talking about, which is Marmaduke. No, just kidding. Noah, what are some movies that are coming out in May that are jumping to your attention?
Hashtag beleaguered sigh. Okay. Well, okay, again, a lot of stuff in this month that, you know, talking about the beleaguered sigh that I can't bring myself to care about, like Marmaduke, like, I can't believe Downton Abbey is still going. Guys, that shark was jumped a decade ago. We got to let it go. I don't know. It's just a weird list. We got that, Downton Abbey, Chip and Dale. Before the recording, we were talking about how little I care about Tom Cruise in general and about Top Gun, because it's turned into the next No Time to Die, where I feel like I've been watching this trailer for years. And I just wanted to end. So
are there any movies that you're looking forward to that are coming out in May? Those are a bunch of movies you're not looking forward to.
I don't know. Like I'm looking through the list, and I'm trying to not jump ahead and like get excited for something that I don't have any information about. I am sure that everyone has assured me that I would love the Bob's Burgers show, so maybe in a universe where I've seen that show, the Bob's Burgers movie would mean something to me. We're not living in that. We're not in that part of the multiverse, though. So.
Okay, so in this world, there's literally not a single movie coming out in May that you're looking forward to.
I don't know. There's nothing that's jumping out at me yet.
I was trying to remember, Noah, if you've expressed appreciation for this filmmaker, but Alex Garland has a movie coming out in May.
That's true. Yeah,
who of course gave us Ex Machina and Annihilation, films I think all three of us are big fans of, if I'm remembering correctly. This movie looks, I'm gonna be honest, guys, it looks wild.
Is there a trailer out?
There is a trailer. Yeah,
there are two trailers. The first one makes it look like more of an eerie kind of horror movie, and that was really exciting for me. Seeing the second trailer makes it look like, I don't know, like a weird kind of wacky comedy with some horror elements. It's very strange. Premise of it is incredibly vague. At least what I could find, a young woman goes on a solo holiday in the English countryside after the death of her husband. If you see the trailer, you will see that all of the men that are in this particular part of the English countryside are played by one person, Rory Kinnear. So I'm getting some Anomalisa vibes, which is weird. Didn't expect that from an Alex Garland movie. And it's just like really like I can't quite tell what tone it's going for. And the tone of the movie might be completely different from what the trailer's giving us. But it is really wild. There's like a little miniature version of Rory Kinnear that with questionable CGI, I would say. he's wearing all kinds of wigs that look like they're not meant to look remotely realistic. Everything he says seems overtly misogynistic. It's very strange. It seems like she lost her husband and there's some lingering guilt associated with that. The thing that I'm really curious about, and I'm curious what you guys think about this, is Garland is known as a science fiction filmmaker. And as of yet, I'm not really seeing any kind of science fiction elements that they've introduced. Now that might, again,
it's the movie about a town that's filled with multiple iterations of a single man, so there could be cloning involved. We don't really know.
Right. There's nothing. My point is, there's nothing overt. Like, right. This could be all hallucination for all we know. If you're just looking, if you just look at this, would you necessarily think this is science fiction? Like not knowing anything about Alex Garland.
I would think that it was definitely a horror film with the potential for sci-fi.
Interesting. Okay.
I just looked up and reminded myself that I know Jesse Buckley first and foremost from I'm Thinking of Ending Things. I mean, I hope she hasn't stumbled into a similar premise and her career is just going to be her playing women trapped in the psyches of desperate men. Maybe the movie's about Rory Kinnear the entire time.
No, I don't.
And his attempt to create an English his attempts to create a post-Brexit English paradise.
I mean, she did just win. She just got nominated for an Oscar last year for where she was kind of trapped in the psyche of Olivia Colman. So, you know,
that's true. I did not see The Lost Daughter yet, so I cannot. I still can't speak to that movie yet. But
well, you should, because it's my favorite movie of last year. But we are not talking about last year. We're talking about this year. So yeah, I think that the reason why I think that it has potential for sci-fi is just the sense that like there's clearly a mystery at the center of this estate. And whenever there's a mystery at the center of an estate, the answer is always either supernatural or sci-fi, right? So there's, and given that it's Garland, it could really go either way, but I'm excited to find out what it is. It's definitely a highlight for me. Is there any, there's a lot of smaller films coming out in May, a lot of foreign releases, a lot of movies that kind of did the festival circuit a year or two that are finally getting their releases. And I always think of those as kind of like Justin's bread and butter. So are there any on this list that are popping out to you in that respect?
Yes, I would say there's at least one, which is Paris 13th District. This is the new film from Jacques Audiard. I was a big fan of Audiard's last movie, The Sisters Brothers, which he actually made, you know, in English. This is not in English. This is in French, where Audiard hails from. And the other interest, I like that Noémie Merlant, I'm probably mispronouncing that, I apologize. Of course, one of the stars of Portrait of a Lady on Fire is in this. And also credited on the screenplay is Celine Sciamma as well, which is really interesting to me. I just really like the vibe of this one. I'm curious about the cast seems really, really intriguing. And, you know, I've heard good things so far, so I'm really curious about that one.
Yeah, I when I saw that the two of them were working together on a film, I was shocked because they're just like such huge kind of figures in French cinema. And to see that they're putting out a movie together and I had never heard of it, and it's going to be coming on Amazon Prime on May 31st is like so exciting, because I will definitely be watching that as soon as it comes out.
Yeah, that's definitely the other one. I'm curious, is there one for you, Alex, that jumps out to you here?
Yeah, there's a few. So I've been looking forward to On the Count of Three, the Gerard Carmichael's directorial debut, for a number of years now. I think it was 2020's Sundance Film Festival that it premiered, and it's been just kind of hanging out. It did really well at that festival, but had struggled to get distribution since then. And it's kind of like Gerard Carmichael, it co-stars with Christopher Abbott in that movie, Tiffany Haddish and J.B. Smoove, they're also in it, Henry Winkler, all people that I love. And this is kind of a serious dark comedy, I believe, is kind of the vibe. And that is also something that I'm really excited about. So I really am glad that we're finally getting a chance to see this relatively soon. Another thing that I thought might jump out to you, Justin, based on your past history with this filmmaker, it's Eskil Vogt's The Innocents, which is another foreign release, but this is his, I believe, his directorial debut, and he is the writer of some films that we've liked a lot, such as Thelma from 2015, and also one of our favorite movies of last year, The Worst Person in the World. So seeing him get a chance to make a film for himself, writing and directing it, is exciting. It seems like it's going to be a bit of a horror film because it's kind of the description is, during the bright Nordic summer, which already sounds bad, a group of children reveal mysterious powers when the adults aren't looking. But what starts out as innocence soon takes on a supernatural thriller. So that sounds really cool.
It's going to be a trapdoor sequel to Midsommar.
Well, like meets like Children of the Corn, I guess. But like, and that's kind of what I'm saying. Chronicle. Like, there's a lot of smaller movies that are kind of playing with it. Like, you could see that premise slightly rewritten as like the story of like the Power Pack new Marvel movie or whatever. You know, like you could see that being a superhero origin story or something. And the fact that they're like, no, we're going to kind of make this into a kind of art house horror sort of thing by the writer of Worst Person in the World, I'm like, sure, let's see what that's like. I don't know if it's going to be great, but I would definitely be interested to find out. Foxhole.
Alex, do you know if that'll be English language, The Innocents?
No, it's not English language. It's okay. So it's
Norwegian.
That's Norwegian. I think that's cool. That's cool. I'd like to see more non-English movies, you know.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure, and like that seems like a movie that Noah, being based in Germany, you might have even easier access to than we will. So
that I did just
actually
one
that's,
quick
that's
thing.
Quite possible. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, just one quick thing. I know that this isn't. It's actually not Esquivel's directorial debut because he directed a movie called Blind, which was on my top 10 list a few years ago.
Okay.
So he has directed before. Sorry, I just wanted to.
No, I'm glad that you corrected that. I feel like he's so known for being a writer first, so that's
indeed.
Where I missed that. Yeah. But yeah, 2014's Blind, he was his official directorial debut. So, nice catch. But yeah, so that's definitely something that I'm interested to see. Foxhole seems really cool. I think I remember that did a festival run, I think, last year, and that sounded interesting. It's basically the premise is that it's about... it's 36 hours in three separate wars, the American Civil War, World War One, and Iraq. I'm not a huge fan of war films in general, as you guys know, but that playing around, like juxtaposing three very different military theaters all at the same time seems like it could be really interesting. So yeah, that's definitely one. On the kind of more frivolous side of things, The Valet, which is a Hulu release, sounds pretty cool. It's got a really interesting cast. Samara Weaving, Max Greenfield are two people that I'm a big fan of. Betsy Brandt from Breaking Bad, of course. And then Eugenio Derbez is someone that I don't know, but he's kind of the center of this film, which I'm interested to learn more about him. And it's basically, it's a remake of a classic film where Samara Weaving plays this Hollywood movie star. Max Greenfield is her married lover, and they're in a press photo together, a paparazzi photo together. And Eugene Derbez, who is just kind of like someone who works at the hotel that they're staying at, is also in the photo. And so to kind of like save everyone's reputation, they ask Derbez to pretend to be Samara Weaving's new boyfriend instead of Max Greenfield. And then, of course, you know, things happen as you might expect. Something interesting about this movie, though, is that Samara Weaving has a writer credit on this, which I think is cool. So I'm looking forward to it. It's on Hulu, so it's not hard to access, and that should be fun. And also, I guess, like, the only big budget movie outside of Doctor Strange that is coming out this month that I'm looking forward to is probably, believe it or not, it's probably Chippendale's Rescue Rangers. Because this movie is directed by Akiva Schaffer, who I love. No, but Noah, it's the people who made Popstar, Never Stop, Never Stopping, are doing a Chip and Dale movie. And the premise is
made
like...
what?
Yes.
Made what is Popstar Popping?
No, Popstar, Never Stop, Never Stopping, the Andy Samberg movie from a few years ago that we all watched and thought was very funny.
Did I watch that?
I can't imagine you didn't. I don't know. It was many years. It was 2016.
I do not. I have zero memory of this.
Well, if you haven't, you should, because it's very funny. And this is a really... Okay. They're the Lonely Island team. So if you've ever watched anything that was Lonely Island...
Well, I mean, Lonely Island is great.
Dick in a Box, but... I'm on a Boat, you know, all that stuff. Like, that's right. Them. So this... That's, So this is them kind of taking on Chippendale Rescue Ranger. Basically, the premise is... They imagine a world in which Chip and Dale are actual, like, former television stars of the show that we all watched as children. And now they're staging a very late in life comeback. And it seems like Disney let them be very irreverent and play around with their IP in ways that I wouldn't have expected based on some of the trailers. And it's John Mulaney and Andy Samberg in the lead roles. And it just seems really fun. And it seems like the sort of thing that shouldn't work in the same way that, like, the Lego movie shouldn't work. And yet it's great. And so I'm kind of hoping for something similar there. And there's a Paul Schrader written, not directed, but a Paul Schrader written film coming out at the end of May that I haven't heard anyone talk about yet, called There Are No Saints. And if you like Paul Schrader, it sounds like you would like this movie. It stars Jose Maria Yespic as the main kind of person who was kind of a hitman kind of guy who's trying to get out of the game. And then it features some really great character actors in supporting roles like Brian Cox, Tommy Flanagan, Neil McDonough, and Ron Perlman. So I feel like if that's all you kind of need to know about that one. Any last words on May? Anything that you're just like, I can't believe this movie exists. Why are they releasing it?
Well, I'll just say for me, just to the movies that you brought up, I was familiar with The Innocents, and based on the creative team, I would have been excited. The premise terrifies me for some reason. Like, just the idea of, like, kids having, you know, supernatural powers and potentially harming one another doesn't sound super appealing to me, but you know, that could just be my initial misgivings, because I really Blind is a really good movie. Ellen Dorr Peterson, who was the star of that one, I think is in this one as well. So there's a lot going for it. It's just the premise is really scary to me. So that's, I'm gonna,
Justin,
maybe
that's,
wait to
that's
see.
Your weak non-Scandinavian constitution talking.
It might be, and you would think I had developed it with all the Nordic metal that I listen to, but unfortunately not.
Yeah, exactly.
But the other one, I'm actually going to second you on Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, because I saw the trailer for that, and I was just surprised by the different animation styles that they're bringing together, not least of which is Chip and Dale themselves. I can't remember which is which, but I think Chip is the one in the Indiana Jones getup. Am I right about that?
I couldn't tell you. It's been very, very long time since I watched Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
Yeah, we endeavor to be knowledgeable on this podcast, but sometimes we don't quite get there. But yeah, like one of the chipmunks is traditionally animated and the other is CGI, because I believe he had CGI surgery, I think.
That's, yeah, for the reboot, because he's trying, because the whole premise is that they're like trying to get a reboot, and so there is a disagreement between the two of them whether they should remain 2D or get a CGI surgery to get to be more marketable, which seems like something that would like as a conversation in a movie.
Okay, that actually might that actually pikes my interest.
And okay, yeah.
There you go, Justin. You've managed. You convinced me to think about it.
Okay. The last thing I'll just say is Top Gun Maverick is a movie that's coming out and apparently
supposed
to save
movie
theaters. So we'll see.
It's a movie that will exist.
Yeah, well, it's a movie that that was originally supposed to be released in 2019. There was filming delays that pushed it to a 2020 release. Then, because of the pandemic, it was pushed, I believe, 3 more times, because Tom Cruise insisted on it being released in theaters at a point when the theater industry was robust again, because he felt like it was important for the long-term, you know, prospects of theater going. And, you know, maybe he's right. Who's to say? I know a lot of people who are older than me who grew up with this movie that were really, really excited about this. It's certainly got a cast of great up-and-coming actors from 5 years ago who are now in their mid-30s. But when they were cast, were like kind of in their like late 20s and seemed like they were going somewhere, including Miles Teller and Glenn Powell. And there are a lot of character actors, a lot of stuff to be interested in. This franchise doesn't hold a special place in my heart, but it does in a lot of people's heart, and I think that it's worthy of respect for that alone. We'll see what happens. And yeah, I guess a movie that I'm surprised is coming out is Downton Abbey, A New Era, especially once I saw the trailer, and it's like, well, the Downton Abbey family goes to a villa in France, and while they're away, they shoot a black and white movie in Downton. It's like, cool, I don't know why this needs to be a movie, but that's, I've become a big fan of Julian Fellowes' work on The Gilded Age, so maybe I'll check this out, because that show is ridiculous in all of the best, sometimes unintentional ways. So maybe I'll give.
You're talking about The Gilded Age, or you're talking about Downton Abbey? Because
Downton Abbey. The Gilded Age. Downton Abbey I never got on board with, but The Gilded Age has renewed my interest in Fellowes and his work. And then there is a movie that I saw for May, and this will be our last word on May, that I just couldn't believe exists, and I can't believe that no one told me that it was going to exist, and that would be Good Morning, the Machine Gun Kelly directorial debut, where he's directing it, he wrote it, and he's starring in it alongside his wife, Megan Fox, and the internet's favorite person to talk about, Pete Davidson. And I watched the trailer, and like, the trailer looks kind of good, guys. It seems like it should be an absolute disaster, but the premise is basically like, what if Machine Gun Kelly was a rising movie star whose girlfriend dumps him, and then like he feels sad about it? And I'm just like, I don't know, maybe I do want to see that movie now. I will have to see. We'll have to see what the reviews are. I'm cautiously optimistic, shockingly enough.
I do need you to answer the question, Alex. Does the trailer use the song of the same name by Megadeth, because that would be awesome.
Well, I would love to be able to tell you that, but I couldn't possibly tell you what that song sounds like, since I just learned that it exists right this minute. So.
All right, fair.
Let's move on over to June, where we have another dozen or so films being released of various wide release, limited release, Netflix, Hulu, Apple TV+. Everybody's got a skin in the game this month. Justin, I'm going to start with you. What's something that's jumping out to you as exciting about in the month of June?
So there's two films this month that I'm excited for, but for very different reasons. So I don't know. I feel like one or both will be covered. So maybe I'll go with the one that I think has less of a chance of being covered by either of you two gents. There's a new film from Terrence Davies, who made my beloved A Quiet Passion from a few years ago. I'm really excited. I was always going to be excited for what he did next. But this film looks really fascinating. It's called Benediction. Mm-hmm. And it stars Jack Lowden, who is an actor that I've really enjoyed in many different things at this point. People will probably know him as one of the pilots in Dunkirk. He was also in, I don't know if either of you saw Fighting With My Family with Florence Pugh. He played her brother. He was really good in that. I loved their chemistry.
He also this spring starred opposite Gary Oldman in an Apple TV Plus original series, Slow Horses, which I've been watching. He's actually very good in it. He kind of plays like this disgraced spy for the British Secret Service, who's trying to kind of like get his reputation back, and Gary Oldman is this sort of like the head of the agency for all of the disgraced spies, and he is really a riot in that.
Great. And of course Mangrove, how could I forget that? He played a really fun character in that.
Yeah, you love that movie.
Yeah. And but the premise here is really interesting. This is based on the story of Siegfried Sassoon, who is a British poet who was sent to a psych ward for opposing the war, World War One, the Great War, as it was called at the time, and had affairs with several men while still being closeted. And it seems like this actually might be up Noah's alley, because it appears to be a film about a crisis of faith, as he apparently converted to Catholicism. It just really has a lot of ingredients, I think, of a really great film. I haven't mentioned some of the other actors in this, but it's just like a murderer's row of great British talent, from people like Peter Capaldi playing the older version of Sassoon. You've got Simon Russell Beale, who I believe Noah and I, we saw him in The Winter's Tale way back when.
Really?
Yeah, you saw that, right?
Wow.
I'm just making that up. Yeah, trying to remember. Yeah, that was a great show. Ethan Hawke was also in it. Anyway.
No, that I do remember, the fact that Ethan Hawke was in the show.
Yeah, but you've also got Anton Lesser, Gemma Jones, just great British talent. It just, to me, this has the kind of like, this seems to be like the nice, like repressed great British drama that I've been looking for. So I'm really excited for this one.
Yeah, and I think it was at the fall film festivals last fall, and I remember hearing a lot of good things about it, and especially kind of the Peter Capaldi, Jack Lowden looking very different from each other, playing the same character very, very interesting ways. But yeah, I know you love Terrence Davies, so as soon as I heard that he was making a movie that was finally coming out, I was excited for you, and I'm also excited for me that I can get a chance to watch Jack Lowden kiss boys, because that's going to be exciting too. Noah, how about you? Is there anything that's jumping out at you for this month?
Crimes of the Future sounds like it could be absolutely batshit in the best possible way. That's the new David Cronenberg movie. But mostly because, you know, especially, you know, you list the top four actors, performers in it. Kristen Stewart and Lea Seydoux especially, they got great. They're great actresses, but they also seem to just have really great instincts in terms of what projects they take on. I'm trying to think of like a mistake Kristen Stewart has made post Twilight in terms of picking a role or movie that just ended up being like not a good idea. And like it's all been like she and Robert Pattinson have just been doing one fascinating thing after another. So if both she and Lea Seydoux signed on for this, there's got to be something there worth seeing. And it sounds like the super like high concept futuristic. I mean, it could be a sci-fi movie. It could also just be sort of like a psychological exploration of the human condition, which I'm always down for.
Why not both?
So yes, or both. No, so it sounds like the pieces are there to produce something that would be right up my alleyway.
Yeah, I think we're all looking forward to that as well. I mean, David Cronenberg, at this point, is most known to me as the acerbic computer in Star Trek Discovery. But before that, of course, was a longtime fan, filmmaker of very gross movies. So I'm excited to see him return to that role. And of course the cast is great, but there's some other fun stuff out coming this year, this month rather. And there's some things I've never heard of.
Hang on a second. Is this a remake of his own film? The second film in his filmography is called Crimes of the Future.
Yeah, his very first film, I believe, was titled Crimes of the Future. He says this is not actually a remake. They're just
using
his title again.
Okay, this old one is a very different premise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But people feel like this might be his last film because of that kind of bookending that's happening. So it'll be interesting to find out. But yeah, what I was kind of gearing up towards was that there's a film that's getting a nationwide release this year that I just like can't believe is a real thing that's happening. It's called Brian and Charles. Are you guys excited for Brian and Charles coming out June 7th in theaters nationwide?
Hadn't heard of it until a day ago.
Yeah, so it's a movie directed by Jim Archer. It is about David Earle, who also wrote the screenplay, who plays this man who, I believe the premise is that after a particularly harsh winter, Brian goes into a deep depression and, completely isolated with no one to talk to, decides to build his own robot and does. And that's just a movie that's coming out nationwide, which I was very interested to learn. It's Focus Features, I believe, is putting it out. So I'm curious to see why a major studio basically would back a movie that sounds like it would be much more of sort of like a Bleecker Street release that Justin would be telling me about a year and a half after it was released. So I'm curious to see what is up with that. There's other stuff that's coming out that's fun. Fire Island, for instance, which is Andrew Ahn, Joel-Kim Booster movie with Joel-Kim Booster and Bowen Yang. Those are two actors, comedians that I really like a lot. This is about kind of like a group of gay friends who were going to Fire Island for the summer, and they kind of fall into a Pride and Prejudice-esque love affair. And I'm just like, it's going to be on Hulu June 3rd. I can't imagine why anyone wouldn't want to watch that. That sounds like a blast. Also, maybe a blast, maybe the saddest movie ever. It's hard to tell based on the way that the premise is written, but Goodbye to You, Leo Grand, the Sophie Hyde, Katie Brandt movie starring Emma Thompson and Daryl McCormick, where Emma Thompson is playing a woman whose husband recently died and whose husband has never sexually satisfied her, so she has sought the satisfaction of a male escort to try to kind of like, you know, experience something that she never did before. And that sounds like it could be very funny. It sounds like it could be very sweet. It sounds like it could be like emotionally devastating. Emma Thompson is capable of doing all of those things at the same time. So curious to find out. Any other movies from this month that is jumping out to you? There's a couple that are big, big, big movies that we have not mentioned yet. Justin, you're nodding your head.
Yeah. So there's
Justin's nodding his head. I'm shaking my head.
Well, I'll go with the one that I am more likely to see, which is Lightyear, which is, of course, the prequel, supposed prequel based on the real person question mark that the toy is based on, according to Chris Evans, which, okay, that's apparently a thing. I don't know. It's, you know, the vibes I was getting from it, from the trailer, it has like reminded me a lot of Star Trek Beyond. Maybe that's just like the setting, like it just has this kind of like fun sci-fi romp kind of energy to it, which is really interesting. I mean, there's a lot, there seems to be a lot going on, and I am a little worried that, like, there's going to be some, like, the narrative is going to be just too convoluted, but I'm also like, well, it's Pixar, so it couldn't be too, like, I feel like we'll be able to understand it, but it's just introducing so many elements that I'm almost like, all right, slow down a little bit. Like, let's just, you know, we've got the character, we've got the aesthetic, like, let's work with that.
And we're past the point where you can assume that Pixar is going to hit everything out of the ballpark. So Pixar is very much at a point where they can have misfires. So
I mean, that's true, but I can't think. I mean, they've been on a hot streak lately, like between like with Soul and Luca and Turning Red. Those are their last few releases. Those are all been great, great movies that I've loved. So I'm not particularly. I feel like they've kind of pulled out of the skid of the sort of like Cars 3, Finding Dory. Like these are okay brand extensions, but not really exciting films. But this certainly seems more in the vein of that. And just to clarify, because I know a lot of people are confused about this, the basic idea of this movie is that it's the movie that Andy from Toy Story watched that made him want to buy a Buzz Lightyear action figure, right? That's the whole premise. And that could be a good idea, I guess. I mean, I prefer that to just going back and doing Toy Story 5, right? If we need to kind of exploit this idea.
Yeah, I guess that's true. You know, pick your poison.
But, you know, and it's got a good cast, you know, Chris Evans, Kiki Palmer, Taika Waititi, Uzo Adubo, James Brolin. Like, these are people that I would be happy to see in any Pixar movie. But, yeah, I have literally no enthusiasm for this movie at all. So, I mean, the only thing that makes it better is that it comes out 1 week after Jurassic World Dominion, which is another movie that I truly have no interest in whatsoever.
No, Alex, your summation on the sheet, the dinos are loose, I think that's about that's about all there is to say. The dinos are loose, again. It's a metaphor for something, again, and we have to stare at Chris Pratt's face, again.
For our listeners, I've prepared this very nice document for our co-hosts where I include the descriptions and the directors and actors and everything for all these releases. And for some of them, you know, I decided to take a little bit of, you know, creative license with the descriptions. But yeah, the basic premise of this is like, okay, what if all of your favorite people from all of the original Jurassic Park movies come back and help fight the dinosaurs, I guess, or help the dinosaurs and fight humans? I don't know. But because now the dinosaurs are everywhere. They're not on an island. They're not like rampaging through LA. They are through the entire world. They've been let loose into the world. And what will happen now? And there's like a line in the trailer where it's like, humans and dinosaurs cannot coexist, which of course is going to be the resolution of the movie, that they'll find a way to coexist, I'm assuming. Or maybe they kill all of the humans and it's a very sad ending. I don't know. They said that this is the end of an era.
That'd be the best ending. Are you kidding? If that's the ending, my butt's in the movie scene.
They're trying to kind of do the thing where it's like, well, Star Wars got a lot of credit for bringing back the original cast, right? So we're going to do that too. We're going to bring back Laura Dern and Jeff Goldblum and Sam Neill and have them.
Star Wars. Like, you had to bring back Carrie Fisher and, you know, Mark Hamill. Like, Jurassic Park and Star Wars are not in the same plane.
Laura Dern was in the original Jurassic World, there's no way that it would have been a worse film, you know? So the fact that she's in this makes me at least somewhat interested in watching it when it appears on Peacock in 6 months, I guess. But that's about it. I'm not seeing this in a theater. But there's some other stuff.
I don't know.
Like, Joseph Kaczynski has a Netflix release this month called Spiderhead, which is kind of, it's written by the Deadpool team, Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, and it stars Chris Hemsworth, Miles Teller, and Journey Smollett, three people that I enjoy, at least to varying degrees, and it's basically like they break out of a prison, I think. That sounds fun. Like, that could be good. You know, Cha-Cha Real Smooth is a movie that we're going to be covering on the show for June. That's going to be our June featured review. That's for Apple TV Plus. Cooper Raith came out a couple years ago with Shit House, which was, despite the name, a very kind of sensitive and interesting film about depression in college. And so I'm excited to see what he does here with Dakota Fanning.
I found this really sweet, inspiring movie. Oh, yeah, what's it called? Shit House.
No, that's literally what it is. Scott Derrickson has a new movie coming out. Are you guys into Scott Derrickson horror? Where we see Robert Cargill as the writer?
I mean, I'm not a horror guy I'm just not a horror guy in general. Like, you have to point me in the direction of a good horror movie and then I'll watch it. But If Justin, someone's general thing is a horror thing, like the premise sounds interesting. I looked at the premise of Black Phone. It does sound interesting.
Yeah, of course, Scott Derrickson, also the director of the first Doctor Strange, but not of Multiverse of Madness, which multiple reasons. Wow. But I would honestly say Sinister is maybe one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. So I really like that movie, also starring Ethan Hawke. Saw the trailer for this one. This is based on a Joe Hill story, of course, the son of Stephen King. Saw the trailer for this, saw the premise. I don't know, guys. I have a real, I've said I don't like kids with supernatural powers. I don't like kids being kidnapped and like seeing, decaying corpses, like talking.
Justin, you're
to
not a fan of kidnapping kids?
Whoa. I know.
This is a big surprise.
Wild, right?
I just cannot... the guy who did the Wow. Okay.
He did The Exorcism of Emily Rose as well. I haven't seen it, but I know of Noah.
Then I have seen one film of him. Oh, no, I saw the first Doctor Strange movie. Yeah. I saw a non-Marvel movie from this guy.
But, yeah.
Can't say that makes me more excited to see the Black Phone, though.
Yeah, and the trailer just is kind of what you'd expect from, the kind like from an audience that's looking for just like, oh, I just want like a horror movie with like jump scares randomly, and then I don't have to think about it after I leave the theater, and like that's just really not for me. So I don't know. Big fan of Sinister. This looks not like that. So
I feel like they're trying to capture the It audience. I think that's what they're going with, or going for rather.
Is there an audience that still exists?
Yeah, it was a huge, huge box office hit.
I like the first hit. Like, at least the first movie.
Yeah, and then, then the second movie was the second movie, but that audience still is there. And this,
the second
I think
movie
that's kind of, it had a lot of moments, and many of them were very long.
I have to comment, I don't have an opinion on the premise of this movie at all, because I just do not care about golf. The Phantom of the Open sounds like it should be some bizarro parody film. Oh, but apparently God, it's not. It's not. No, apparently it's not connected to Phantom of the Opera at all. But like, what else could you assume with that title? Like,
I want to know what Mark Rylance's deal is, because he's like one of like the top 20 best actors of his generation. And he just keeps making like incredibly ridiculous movies, like either like very bad performances in movies like Don't Look Up or like this. Like isn't he also in Operation Mincemeat, which we didn't talk about, that is coming out in May.
Oh, that's another film that sounds like a straight up parody of something.
Yeah, I guess. Oh no, he's not in that. That's Colin Firth. My apologies.
Mark Rylance, Colin Firth, they're all
but
British.
Yeah, it just feels like he just like I don't know what he's doing. I mean, I'm sure this movie's gonna do great. It's probably gonna be like a nice kind of like crowd pleaser. The premise of it is basically it's like a true life story about a person who like sneaks onto the British Open golf tournament without ever playing a round of golf and ends up like winning. I guess I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah, I gotta
it's also,
say
it's
most
coming out the
story...
same. It's coming out the same day as the biopic of Eiffel, the man who created the Eiffel Tower, which is again like okay, whatever.
It's just most of those true story biopics fall into that range of being fine, like competently made, but no real reason to like get people to go out and see it. Like
yeah, they're at this point they're just there to be like a VOD offering for your parents, like on a Tuesday
night. Or for teachers,
like,
or
hey,
for
let's
teachers.
Watch a movie.
Or for teachers in specific classes, like, oh, we're going to watch a scene from this movie, you know.
Well, I think that there's a bit more sex appeal in the Eiffel movie, so I don't know if that's for teachers, but we'll have to see.
You had to get the inspiration for that tower somewhere.
Are there any other smaller films coming out this year, such as Baz Luhrmann's Elvis, which we haven't talked about yet, that's coming out in June 24th?
Yeah, no.
Baz Luhrmann is always interesting, but I have literally never cared about Elvis for a single second of my life, so I can't say I'm interested in seeing this.
Well, and I mean, have you seen the trailer for Elvis? Because Tom Hanks is really doing the most.
We saw the trailer two nights in a row. We were at the theater the past two nights, and now they're showing the trailer before everything.
This is the movie where Tom Hanks got COVID, and just like, wow, this is.
Wait, really?
Yeah, that's he my went down God. To Australia.
The part that sticks out for me is Elvis insisting that the MLK Jr.'s murder is somehow about him, and I'm like, is it Elvis? I don't know. I'm sure there's a context to that. I'm sure there's a context to that, but to use it as trailer bait, I'm like, guys.
What the trailer is trying to convey is that the movie knows that there has been an evolution of cultural kind of understanding of Elvis as a person who was truly a pioneer, but also kind of just stole like huge swaths of Black American entertainment and commodified it for a white American audience. And so I feel like this movie is trying to kind of like walk that line between being honest about that while still presenting him in a positive light. Yeah, he's there trying to walk the line. Yep.
Keep a close eye on that heart of Elvis's.
Yeah, it's gonna be a hard walk for them to pull off. So we'll see what happens there.
I think I'm gonna wait like and see what people say.
Anyway.
So Noah is not in on Elvis. I'm just gonna say, Justin, you're not in on Elvis either, right? Yeah. So what is something that you are in on?
So I'm actually gonna go with a movie called Flux Gourmet, which is the latest film from Peter Strickland. I've been a fan of his with The Duke of Burgundy, and I feel like everybody slept on In Fabric from a few years ago. I really loved that movie. It combined everything from fashion to giallo films in a really entertaining way. This film, like just reading the premise, it sounds Cronenbergian.
Can you read the premise for our audience? Because it is short and sweet and really gets right to the point.
Yes. Okay. Ready yourselves, everybody. Set at an institute devoted to culinary and alimentary performance, a collective finds themselves embroiled in power struggles, artistic vendettas, and gastrointestinal disorders.
What else do you need in a movie, honestly?
You got to help me. What does alimentary mean? Just refresh my brain.
I think we're going to find out when we watch for May.
I could be wrong, but I think it means like auditory.
Yeah.
Okay. Or it's kind of like in that vein.
Hugo in it. That's cool.
Yes, the trailer's wild. Asa Butterfield, who of course played Hugo, is rocking a Robert Smith haircut. Love it.
You might know him from Sex Education, also the very popular Netflix series.
Yeah. It's got Fatma Muhammad, who was great in Fabric, one of my favorite performances of that year. It just looks wild. It feels almost like I'm going to get real film nerd here. It's almost like a combination of David Cronenberg and Peter Greenaway. It has like this kind of, it feels like there's some body horror type stuff, but also some more like this kind of like formal regalness to it. And I really like that combination. And I've heard it's mostly gotten good reviews. It seems like it's wild and crazy and uneven, but seems like it could also be a lot of fun. And based on his last two movies, I think it probably will be.
I only learned about this when I was putting this document together for the show, and I was shocked and excited. So I can't wait to find out what happens with that film. Noah, I wanted to ask you about a June 24th release called Marcel the Shell with Shoes On, which is a sort of live action animated hybrid film coming out of A24, created basically the brainchild of Jenny Slate, who is someone that I think a lot of us are a big fan of on the show. And I'm curious if you know anything about this and if this is in your wheelhouse or if you are not interested at all.
I do not know anything about it, but seeing the premise, I'm definitely interested in seeing how it turns out and seeing what the reaction is.
Yeah, it's basically like
Jenny Slate's sort of an animated hybrid film.
Yeah, Jenny Slate just like on her own one day decided to like have a little fun with her, I think then boyfriend, now husband, and voice this shell that was just in her house, and they made up this whole thing about how she was Marcel the Shell with Shoes On, and it became a little bit of a viral hit. They made a series of videos, and then A24 was like, we're gonna pay you to make this into a movie, and so now it's this sort of like sweeping epic about family reunification, and I don't know. I saw that and I was like, this just kind of feels ridiculous. I feel like it might be a little bit too lofty, but it's getting good reviews, so maybe I'm a cold-hearted cynic. But
no, I'm gonna keep my ears open for that one, definitely.
Justin, how about you? Is this a movie that is a big deal for you?
Of course,
or?
Lord knows that that's gonna get a release about here. That might be a bit too niche.
It just looks a little too cutesy for my taste. Like that's like I feel like it'll be something that I you know, I haven't seen it yet, so I can't judge, but it feels like something that I'll probably enjoy in the moment. And I'll be like, wow, that was really cute and fun. And that was that. Like, it just, you know, I guess I tend to think of A24 offering a little bit more than that, but, you know, why can't they make some silly, you know, fun movies too? So.
Yeah, totally. Okay, there's one last movie that I wanted to talk about for June, and that's a movie called Press Play, which is only getting a limited release. And when you read the premise, I'm honestly surprised that it's not a bigger movie, because it stars Lewis Pullman, who we're all big fans of from his role in what is that hotel
Bad
movie?
Bad Times at the El Royale. Yes.
Thank you very much. So it's that guy.
A ride or die.
Yeah, the guy who was doing his best Tom Holland impression in that film. he's getting to star in this one alongside Clara Ruggard and Danny Glover and Matt Walsh. And basically it's about the Clara character whose love interest passes away, sadly. Lewis Pullman plays the love interest. And then she realizes that she can actually travel through time through the help of a mixtape that was created as a representation of their love. And so she doesn't necessarily have to say goodbye to him, because she just has to listen to the mixtape and travel through time. And that sounds like a really cool premise of kind of something that could be very relatable and making literal something that I think a lot of people feel when it comes to like re-listening to music and how it kind of transports you to a place and a time in your past and how that can help you connect to people who are no longer in your life. It seems like they're like literally turning that into a time travel movie. And that sounds like a really cool idea. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah. I mean,
silence.
I mean,
yeah, no, like I don't, like most of the stuff I don't have enough. I've tried hard in recent years to have less opinions of stuff before I've seen it, you know?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, go into it with an open mind. I'm just saying, like, it sounds like a really fun premise. It seems like the sort of thing that could have come out as like a studio movie, like with like a $50 million budget starring like Jake Gyllenhaal or something 15 years ago, you know, like, and it's, I think I'm excited.
It does sound
to
interesting.
See, I'm excited to see what they do with it.
Yeah. And I really like, I guess sci-fi in general, but especially time travel movies that are more like low key, that aren't big budget movies, because you can do a lot more with the power of suggestion. This seems like that could possibly be one of those. So
yeah, like About Time, the Domhnall Gleeson movie from about a decade
sure.
ago.
Like yeah,
that it feels like this could kind of hit that similar sweet spot, but with less about fathers and sons, hopefully, given. But one other thing that I think a lot of people would be really interested in, that I don't think either of us, any of us, are probably that interested in, is Hustle, a movie that's coming out for Netflix on June 8th. It's directed by Jeremy Zagar, who I don't know personally, or I'm not familiar with his work either, but it stars Adam Sandler as kind of a washed up former basketball star who's coaching in Spain and discovers a new talent that he kind of tries to shepherd into the NBA. And it has like a great cast, including Queen Latifah, Robert Duvall, Ben Foster, Raul Castillo, who a lot of people might know from Looking. He's a really great actor that I'm excited. He's actually popping up a couple of times. He's also in Cha-Cha Real Smooth this month. So excited that he's getting some more looks. But yeah, it just seems like the sort of thing that a lot of people I know would really like, even if maybe none of us would. So I wanted to give it a shout out.
Hustle almost feels like it's a bit connected to Uncut Gems, because that was a movie that very much centered around basketball and a lot of big
well,
and also featured Adam Sandler.
A lot more heartfelt and family friendly than Uncut Gems, to say the least.
Uncut Gems is the perfect family movie, Alex.
It is.
There are no problems there whatsoever.
Family movie for sure, for many people's families. But we're gonna table that discussion about which Adam Sandler movie is more of a family friendly feature. Justin, July is supposed to be the big month where all the big movie releases come out after May, right? We get May, then June is kind of, you know, we have one or two, then July it's supposed to be like boom 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 every week. So what do you think about what we have for July this
year? Justin, you only get to pick one of the two big hitters. You have to leave the other one for me.
Okay, well, I could, for all you know, I could go small, but I think I'm gonna, and actually I would say there's maybe
you could even go furry, as a matter of fact.
Very true.
Very funny.
Actually, the one that I'm going to spotlight is, it's funny you said two, Noah, because I'm actually now thinking there's at least three that I'm seeing here. So I'll talk about one of them. There's a new film from David Leitch, who is known as one of the original directors of the first John Wick. He has not directed the subsequent ones. That's been Chad Stahelski. But he has done Deadpool 2. He did Atomic Blonde. And he has a movie called Bullet Train coming out, which I'm sure we've all seen the trailer for probably multiple times at this point.
I saw it yesterday for the first time.
Oh, okay. Okay. Stars Brad Pitt. It's assassins on a train. And it's not clear who's an assassin and who's just staff. And that seems like a lot of fun. It seems like there's a bit of a whodunit element and a bit of a mystery along with the action. The action looks really well choreographed. You would expect nothing less from David Leitch. It's also really colorful. I love the cinematography in it. It's really just fun to look at. And that's, you know, in an era where so many action scenes are clouded in CGI smut, it's really nice to see the clarity of the action. And it has this almost like not quite like Looney Tunes, but definitely more cartoonish aspect to the violence, which makes it seem a little more just, you know, fun, I guess. Like, it's just, I don't know, it looks like a really good time. And it's an amazing cast. You know, just everybody from Brad Pitt to why can't I pull up the cast?
Zazie Beetz,
of course, who we all love. I believe.
That deserves top billing. Zazie Beetz. Fuck
Brian Tyree Henry. Aaron Taylor Johnson. So yeah, just
Sandra
a really
Bullock
good cast.
Is even in this movie.
Oh, I missed that one. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the one. That's what of the bigger ones. That's the one that. Well, that one and maybe one other. Probably all the big movies I would say I'm looking forward to this month. Let's be honest.
Noah, how about you? What's the one thing that has stolen your heart?
Well, I mean, it's how should I put this? It stole my heart, or it's probably going to steal my heart with multiple claps of thunder. But speaking, of course, of
Tycho Paris goes to Paris, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. I'm glad we're on the same page.
But Taika Waititi, who gave us, in my opinion, one of the three best standalone Marvel films in Thor Ragnarok, returns to that well for the next Thor movie, which is Thor Love and Thunder, which is supposed to have a lot of stuff going on. The Guardians are going to be in that movie. Zeus and like is making an appearance, which makes me think that like Greek mythology is going to be kind of combined with Norse mythology in this movie.
All the gods are on the table, because the villain is Christian Bale, who is playing Gore the God Killer, or Gore the God Butcher.
I think it's kind of amazing that Christian Bale is not yet in the MCU. I'm very interested to see how that
He's
turns
Batman.
Out.
They got Batman. The MCU got Batman. That's wild.
Yeah, basically. Chris Hemsworth, I've had to say that even when the individual movies themselves within the Marvel franchise have not been that memorable, generally speaking, their casting choices end up being really aces. And I have just grown to appreciate Chris Hemsworth as Thor more and more. So, and it sounds like they're trying to take him in, you know, keeping that more comedic side to his character that they've had in the later movies, but trying to kind of find a heartfelt direction to like kind of resolve. I don't know if this is going to be the last Thor movie, but maybe to try and like find something of an emotional endpoint for his character. So I'm really interested to see how that turns out. Of course, Natalie Portman is going to return to the franchise as I'm not sure what her title is going to be. Thor.
She's Thor. I mean, it's based off of the Jason Aaron comic run of Thor, where Jane Foster becomes Thor, proper Thor.
Yeah.
So she's going to be Thor in this movie. She's going to be Jane Foster, who becomes Thor. So it's very
exciting. I have to say, it sounds like this is, because she kind of, there was kind of a bit of disillusionment with her character and where it was going. But it's great to see her come back and get the chance to have this sort of fun in the movie. So I think at the very least, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And maybe if we're lucky, you know, they'll be able to match Thor Ragnarok, and we'll have another amazing like standalone Marvel movie that I'm going to want to like revisit down the line.
It'd be exciting. Justin, how are you feeling about Thor? I think you might be able to tell that I'm excited.
Yeah. Really excited. Saw that, you know, I've seen the trailer a few times now, and it's, again, it's just I love the humor in it. The whole thing with Thor looking, you know, the whole thing about like,
just look in the eyes of the people you love.
Yeah. Like that. I gotta be honest. I got chills at the end when we see Natalie Portman as Thor. Really, I was like, oh, this is me feeding into this is the exact reaction Marvel wants from me, and I'm just enabling it, but I can't help it. She looks like awesome in that armor. Okay. Just great.
Like there is a way to do good fan service, and that's good fan service.
Yeah, you know? And I mean, like, it's also,
and she's smiling. She looks like she's having fun, you know.
And we know
exactly
the fact that it's an adaptation of really, really popular, really well regarded comic book run that Jason Aaron did about 5 or 6 years ago at this point. I think almost actually close to a decade ago now, because time is just never stops moving. It makes me really excited, and I know some things about that run that makes it seem really interesting. And Marvel never directly adapts; they are inspired by, and so I'm very excited to see where they take things from that inspirational source material. Source material is not inspirational; it is inspiring them, I should say. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It sounds cool, and we were all big fans of Thor Ragnarok, so that's more of that is great, and this seems like it's even better. So I guess my big movie for July is obviously Nope, right? The Jordan Peele alien invasion film. Nope, not of planet Earth. I don't know if you've realized that that's what the title is invoking. That's going to be one of our big reviews for the month of July for the show. I'm looking forward to talking about it. There's not much to say. That the fact that these aliens may be crab people is something that I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to handle, but I'm here for finding out. So that is definitely the big one for me.
After Get Out and Us, my expectations for this are going to be pretty much through the roof. So,
yeah. And I mean, you know,
which might be dangerous.
We all love Get Out. Us is a very complicated movie that really bites off a lot and can't quite handle all of the things it's trying to do, but a lot of the stuff that it does is really good, and so I hope that he kind of like learned from that experience and tries to tell a little bit more focused story with Nope. It of course stars Kiki Palmer and Daniel Kaluuya and Steven Yeun,
who are
all people I love a lot, and Barbie Ferreira, who a lot of people might know from Euphoria, but who you should also check out her film from a couple years ago called Unpregnant, which is on HBO Max. It's very, very good, and she's excellent in that as well. So I'm excited to see her kind of get this shot to be in a really high-profile film. I'm just really looking forward to that.
I feel like the trailer is very effective because it doesn't tell you a lot. The fact that there are crab people now makes me a little disappointed, but we'll see how it handles it.
I'm only basing that off of the few glimpses we get of things in the trailer. I don't know anything outside of that first trailer that we've seen.
I have to say, I don't know if either of you would remember this movie or if you saw it at all. There's a Julianne Moore movie from like 2004 called The Forgotten.
Sure.
Are you familiar with this?
I have not watched it, but I am familiar with it. Or actually, okay. No, I did watch it. Yes, I did watch it, and I did not like the experience of watching
it. Okay. I have heard that. I'm about to spoil The Forgotten for anyone who's listening. You've been warned, but there's a thing in that movie of like when people know too much, they literally get like sucked into the sky, and it's ridiculous, but the movie treats it very seriously. And I'm kind of curious how it seems like there's a little bit of that in this movie, although it may be like abduction. I think that might be also what it's going for. But I'm really curious to see how he handles that, because it has the potential to be, you know, I would say it has the potential to be either scary or funny, but I would say it's more likely going to be funny. So I'm curious how he handles that. But I love the look of it. This is the second time I think we've talked about Kiki Palmer being in like a big release. So I'm interested to see what that does for her career. Also, just something really, I have to say, they chose like really good sound bites in that trailer. Just like the little bit of Daniel Kaluuya saying, what's a bad miracle? They got a name for that. Just the way he delivers that line, like, is just makes the the hair on the back of my neck stand up. So yeah, really, really effective. Hope it lives up to the hype.
Yeah, I can't wait. What are some smaller movies that are coming out this month that you guys are looking forward to? Noah, let's go to you.
Looking through the list, it sounds like this is the HBO Max has July 16th. You have The Father of the Bride here.
Yeah.
And just talking about just these inter-familial relationships of this large Cuban American family. I don't know. That sounds like it could be a really great, like, intimate family drama. Or maybe it's also like a big.
It's not going to be an intimate family drama. It's going to be a big kind of comedy, family comedy movie. It's a remake of
Is it supposed to be economy? Okay.
Yeah, it's a remake of, well, I mean, most people our age would probably best know the Steve Martin movie from the early 90s, Father of the Bride, but that is also a remake of a classic film from, I think, like, the 40s or 50s or something, that is also Father of the Bride. It's basically just a movie about, like, a father whose daughter is getting married, right? Like, that's the premise.
Yeah, but I think the idea of maybe doing a Cuban-American spin on it sounds like a really good idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
That sounds like the sort of thing that could be really great.
And it's Andy Garcia and Gloria Estefan are stars, and like, who doesn't want to watch them in a big fun comedy? Like, that sounds cool, and especially it's going to be on HBO Max July 16th. Anybody can watch it if they subscribe to that platform. So I think that sounds really fun, and I'm looking forward to kind of the press tour for that one, because I bet that'll be fun as well.
Yeah, I didn't even know. Again, that was one I'm like, wait, they're doing another remake of Father of the Bride when I saw that. But, you know, why not? Like you said, no, I think we can put a new spin on it. Then, you know, I think it has at least potential. I was going to point out one that has been getting mostly good reviews from what I've seen. I'm really curious about the creative people involved in it. It's a movie called The Forgiven, which is the new film from John Michael McDonough, who is the brother, the older brother of Martin McDonagh, and has directed a few films now. I've seen his first two movies, and I would say I'm a fan of both of them. They both starred Brendan Gleeson. One was The Guard. The other one was a movie called Calvary.
Calvary.
Speaking of, I know I brought up faith-based films. Like, that's another example to me of like a great faith-based film that is about challenging faith as opposed to just reinforcing what you already think you know about it.
I loved Calvary.
I figured you would. I mean, if that movie's made for anybody, Noah.
Like, well, seriously. Yeah, okay. Just put that X on my back.
He did another movie called War on Everyone, starring our favorite actor on this podcast, Alexander Sarsgaard.
Of course.
Which I did not see. I didn't hear the best things about that one. But this movie looks really intriguing. The premise is... if I can get to it, takes place over a weekend in the Atlas Mountains in Morocco and explores the reverberations of a random accident on the lives of both locals and Western visitors to a house party in a grand villa. This has an incredible cast, as we said about so many movies. Everybody from Ralph Fiennes, Jessica Chastain, Matt Smith, Saeed Tagmaoui, Caleb Landry-Jones, Christopher Abbott.
This is a stacked cast.
That's incredible. So I'm really hoping that this is, you know, I'm really hoping this is good. The premise makes me think of Babel for some reason, but it seems like it's more focused on one storyline. I don't know. I'm just curious how he handles this. I mean, I'd say the best of John Michael McDonagh from what I've seen is the way he's able to marry very dark comedy with drama. And I don't know how it's going to figure into this story in particular. Not a lot funny is standing out to me just based on the premise, but, we'll see. I'm definitely curious. I'm glad that he's still working and, you know, I think he's definitely a director to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really looking forward to that. That collection of actors alone is just something that like you'll have to see. You know, I don't know if I'll see it in theaters, but I'll be excited to see it eventually. And I hope that it gets good reviews because it's always sad when that collection of talent comes together and then it just is kind of like it was okay, you know. So I hope that isn't the case with this one. I kind of teased about Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris, because it is just like quite the title of a movie. It feels like a book I would have read in third grade. But
actually, Alex, I believe it's Mrs. Harris.
It sounds like a redo on Emily Goes to Paris.
Yes. Oh, you guys both ran to the same joke at the same time, just slightly different. because yes, Emily Goes to Paris is, we found out that it was supposed to be Emily Goes to Paris, and an incredibly insane moment from Netflix, drunk on their power that they no longer have. But anyway, so Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris is a good laugh line, but it is also a movie that stars Leslie Manville, Isabelle Huppert, and the shouting aristocrat from The Matrix, Lambert Wilson. So if you don't want to see a movie with those three actors in it, whatever it's called, I don't know what's wrong with you. So it's definitely an honorable mention. But there's some other like really cool things coming out in July, honestly, that I'm looking forward to, such as Minion: The Rise of Gru. No, absolutely not.
No.
why did we need a 1970s origin story for Gru?
Alex, have I not sighed beleaguedly enough today? My throat can't take this.
But there is an animated movie that I'm curious about your opinion on, Noah, because you are our animation expert extraordinaire, and that is the Sea Beast.
Well, don't call me an expert.
The Sea Beast, which is coming out for Netflix, directed by Chris Williams, who last directed Bolt for Disney many, many years ago and has kind of been in the doghouse, if you will, since then.
Oh,
so,
I did not see Bolt, so I can't speak to Bolt.
The premise of Bolt is that like he's a TV dog who like thinks he has superpowers because on the show he has superpowers.
Oh, right, I remember. And yeah, then his show gets canceled. I didn't see it, but yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like Michael Keaton is the dog, I think.
I thought it was John Travolta.
You're right, it's John Travolta. Yes.
Oh right, yeah.
And that's it. Basically is the movie that like destroyed Disney animation for like a decade. But yeah, so I'm curious what you think about the Sea Beast, because Netflix has had a pretty good run with animated features recently.
Well, that's true, but you know, we're just getting hit with the news that they're really shuttering a lot of animated projects that they made getting representative casts and crews to like come in and produce them, and now they're just being like dropped like a sack of hot potatoes. So
yeah, because Netflix has lost a third of their worth in a week, so they had to quickly kind of shutter a lot of projects that they were working on. But this is a result of that Netflix animated studio that is now getting significantly downsized. But this is a product of that. So I'm curious what you think about this project.
I mean, I always hope that an animated project like this is good. The premise does sound interesting. It might be depressing, even more depressing if it is good. But
there are other animated features coming out this month, such as Paws of Fury, The Legend of Hank, which is a movie about,
I'm gonna keep my hopes with the Sea Beast. Thank you very much.
I mean, that movie has Michelle Yeoh, Michael Cera, Mel Brooks, Jamin Hansu, Samuel Jackson, and it's about like a martial arts cat, I guess. I don't know. So maybe that'll be good.
I don't know. That gives me very, we really want to recreate Kung Fu Panda vibes.
Well, and then
there's only one Kung Fu Panda.
There's DC League of Super Pets, which has The Rock as Crypto, the super dog, and Keanu Reeves as the bat dog, and many other people.
Anyway, back to the Sea Beast. Anyway, back to the Sea Beast.
Yeah, so it's looking like, you know, they're giving us a lot of options in July for animated, but Sea Beast seems like the best one, is your opinion, Mr. Animation?
Love it. It's the one that I'm the most optimistic about.
I saw the trailer for this. Unfortunately, did not, speaking of trailers that would have benefited from metal songs that I love, does not feature Mastodon Sea Beast, alas.
I was going to say, Justin, if you didn't bring that up, I was going to be disappointed.
Yeah. Oh, I will, whenever I can. but the thing that struck me about it is the people in it look like you would expect in a digital animated film. The water effects look incredible. And the beasts themselves, I think, look pretty cool. And I gotta say, just as someone who used to read a lot of books about cryptids and legendary monsters as a kid, this one was definitely like, I was feeling the nostalgia a little bit, just seeing like, oh, those are the kind of creatures you see on the maps where it's like, you know, here be dragons. Like that's kind of what they're going for. And I love that being an inspiration, for an animated film ostensibly aimed at a family. So yeah.
Nice. Netflix has two other releases that are really interesting this month. Persuasion is a Jane Austen adaptation. That's like one that has not been well covered in terms of Jane Austen adaptations. You know, we've seen a lot of Austen adaptations over the years, but I feel like Persuasion hasn't gotten the adaptation treatment very often. This one's going to be starring Dakota Fanning, Henry Golding, Richard E. Grant, Sookie Waterhouse. So, I mean, that's great cast. I'm really looking forward to that. I hope it's good. I know sometimes with these Netflix dramas, they kind of just get like, they come and they go really fast, especially ones that are released in the summer. But I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to The Gray Man, a Joan Anthony Russo directed film. I know that Cherry didn't really work out for anyone, but this movie is such a crazy cast. It's like basically just like a spy movie. And it's Chris Evans, Ryan Gosling, Ana de Armas, Regis, Jean Page, Jessica Henwick, Alfre Woodard, Billy Bob Thornton. Like, I mean, this is going to be a really, I mean, how could all of those people together not be a good movie? So we'll see. And you know, they, one thing that the Russos are good at, we know, is balancing a large cast. So I'm excited to see if they pull that off here. Are you guys looking forward to either of those movies at all?
Yeah, actually, no, both of them sound like they could be good. You know, especially the Russo brothers have a great track record, so.
Apart from the movie that Alex mentioned.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I mean, not everyone's perfect.
I mean, I'm really curious about the Persuasion adaptation. There's one very infamous scene from that novel, and every time I've seen it adapted, it always is like incredibly melodramatic, and I'm really curious if they recreate it. I don't know if I can describe it in a way that's going to like do it justice, but yeah, it's a really fascinating story. It's very, I mean, it is in some ways Persuasion is like the apotheosis of Jane Austen. It's like everything you would expect from her, both in terms of her actual writing, but also in terms of her reputation. It was, I believe, published posthumously, although it was mostly completed. So yeah, it has not been adapted as frequently as the others, but yeah, I'm curious what this modern adaptation looks like, and especially with Dakota Johnson, who I actually think has a lot of energy I'd expect from an Austen heroine. So good casting.
Yeah. And the last thing I wanted to talk about here is Where the Crawdads Sing, which is a literary adaptation by Olivia Newman and Lucy Elebar. And it stars Daisy Edgar-Jones. I haven't, and Harris Dickinson, who are two young actors that I just absolutely adore. I have not seen the trailer to this. I'm trying to stay completely just like not know anything about it, because these are like great actors, and I know this source material is well respected, and I know Taylor Swift made an original song for the movie because she loves the book so much, which, like, you know, that could really go either way. But
does she love the book, Alex, or does she love getting that sweet Oscar nomination?
No, she like specifically sought out the, like, they were not looking for a Taylor Swift song for this movie. She said, like, she's been in interviews saying that, like, she loved this book when she read it many years ago, and when she found out that they were making it into a movie, she just said that, like, she wanted to be a part of it any way she could. So I believe her in that respect. And I don't know if it's gonna lead to an Oscar nomination, so we'll have to see. This seems like the sort of movie that could or it couldn't break Oscar way.
The trailer for this came up when we were at Everything Everywhere two nights ago. It looks fine. I don't know. I'm gonna wait and see what sort of buzz comes out before I decide. Because I'd never heard of the book before, so I have no prior knowledge of this property or interest in it. So I'm a blank slate as far as that movie goes.
Daisy Edgar-Jones is just such an incredible actress. She starred in Normal People, which is a limited series from 2 years ago. And what she does in that show is just absolutely astounding. I haven't seen Fresh yet. I want to get around to it. I know that it's gotten kind of mixed reviews, but no one seems to have a bad word about her performance in it. And so I feel like she's just one of those young actors that I'm just here for anything that they're going to do. And Harris Dickinson, similar. You know, I mean, he broke out onto the scene in Beach Rats. And I think he was in that Kingsman movie, and I certainly didn't see that. But, I mean, you know, how much do you really expect of me, Harris Dickinson? But this I will definitely show up for.
Yeah, I have seen the trailer for this. I won't say too much, but it's definitely going for a Southern Gothic vibe. My question is it going to actually nail that, or will it be more like, you know, Baby's first Southern Gothic, because that's kind of what it feels, at least the trailer feels like to me. It feels like Southern Gothic for people who really don't know that genre. Everyone's maybe just like a little too pretty. Like, it's just, it feels like it's made for a more mainstream audience, which is fine. It's based on apparently a best-selling book. I feel like these kinds of movies come out all the time where it's based on this best-selling book that I've never heard of. But I'm glad that people like it. But I will say this, like, it really does look like, I'm not super familiar with Daisy Edgar Jones. I know that she was on Normal People, which I still need to see. But she looks great in it, if nothing else. She, at the very least, it looks like she's going to acquit herself well. So, hope it's good. Don't really know the director. Lucy Alibar, I do know, because she, of course, was one of the writers behind Beasts of the Southern Wild, and is in a playwright and screenwriter. Ooh. She worked on a few things. But yeah, I don't quite know what to feel about this. We'll see.
Well, the director, Olivia Newman, she directed the Netflix original feature First Match, which was a kind of coming of age story from 2018, which I thought that you saw, Justin, but maybe I'm mistaken. But anyway, so she's got a little bit of a track record in this regard, but definitely a very different vibe from that, because that's about kind of like a female wrestler in high school, I believe. So like very different from this, but yeah, that's definitely that's gonna kind of like do it for me. There's a couple of other things that I wouldn't necessarily I'm looking forward to, but are just kind of like I'm putting a pin in and see what happens. Like, for instance, Bed Rest, which is directed by Laurie Evan Taylor, Melissa Barrera, who we all loved in In the Heights and who was good in parts of Scream 5, but not all of. She plays a woman who is pregnant and is sent on bed rest, and then a bunch of crazy stuff happens. It sounds like an interesting premise for a horror film that could really go either way. Jane Ponsalt, who I loved The Spectacular Now and have not been as interested in the things that he's done since then. That is, he's got a new literary adaptation, Summer Ring, about like a group of girls the summer before they start middle school, where there might be some just kind of like ups and downs sort of deal. So that could really be good, or it could be kind of just a miss. So we'll see about that. Vengeance is a BJ Novak film that's coming out at the end of the month. It's a BJ Novak, most people probably know from The Office. He was a writer on The Office. He was an actor on The Office. He's coming in here as the writer, director, star of this movie that is a thriller about like a man investigating the death of his girlfriend, which is co-starring Issa Rae, who is great, and J. Smith Cameron, who is great, and Dove Cameron, who I like a lot. She's kind of getting a good look here. Boyd Holbrook, Ashton Kutcher, for some reason, is in this movie. I say that in a way, but not because I don't think he's a good actor. He can be really well used. He just doesn't act very much anymore, and you wouldn't expect him to pop up in a thriller of all things. So this just seems like a whole big mix mash of a bunch of things that I like separately and putting them all together. I'm not quite sure if I would, so we'll have to see. So that's definitely a big question mark for the month of July. Now we're going to go into August, the very last month of our summer schedule, and it is a shorter month. So if you guys are like, you guys have been talking for a long time, don't worry, because there is weirdly very little to talk about in August. So I'm going to hit you, Justin, first. How are you seeing in the month of August that you're interested in?
Well, there's definitely one, at least. And say it with me, guys. Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. This is...
Yeah, this movie looks great.
Yeah. This is from Helena Rain, and who is I'm not super familiar with, but I love the premise of this. This is, of course, about a group of rich 20-somethings who plan a hurricane party at a remote family mansion. This game turns deadly. There's a lot of, like, there's backstabbing.
Are hurricane parties a thing, or is that just something they came up with for this movie?
No, hurricane parties are definitely a thing.
Yeah.
I
definitely... You go to a place where there's going to be a hurricane?
No, it's where when you live in a place where there is going to be a hurricane, instead of everyone staying apart in their own little places where they live, everybody just gets together and has a big party to weather the hurricane together.
Right, exactly.
That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
It can be a nice thing. I've been to them before.
So they apparently are playing this party game called Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. And it's got a great cast. Surprise, surprise. People that, again, we really love in this podcast, like Amanda Stenberg, Maria Bakalova, who I know all three of us really love. Rachel Sennett, who, of course, was so great in Shiva Baby. Lee Pace is in this. Mm-hmm. That didn't expect that.
And Pete Davidson
Pete
again.
Davidson, yeah. I mean, maybe a little less a fan of that particular
I film, I have but. To say, I like Pete Davidson a lot, and I don't care that people think that it's lame.
the trailer for this is incredibly, you know, it's just a real, like, crazy time. And it looks like very satirical and a lot of very dark comedy. And it's kind of like I've heard described as like kind of like a slasher movie, but there's no like, but also like a whodunit, and that just seems like a really interesting combination to me. So yeah, it's looks really crazy. It looks really funny. The trailer was making me laugh quite a bit. So yeah, this is definitely the one that stands out to me in this month. Not a ton else, to be honest, but definitely this one.
Yeah, I have to say about this movie, I'm also very much looking forward to it. And it seems like kind of like a smaller movie, but I was so short story about me. I have a dog. And when I leave the house and the dog is going to be alone, I like to turn the radio on so that way he doesn't feel like he's all by himself. And when I did recently, there was a segment on just like the local radio station, like the top 40 local radio station, about Bodies, 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 where they were talking about it and giving away tickets for it in August. And I was like, what? This is very confusing. But I hope that that means that they're going to make like a big marketing push for this movie, because it sounds like it could be really, it sounds like one of those movies that could steal the end of the summer if it hits right. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. But Noah, how about you? What is something here that you're looking forward to?
I mean, Bodies, Bodies, Bodies is probably one that appeals to me the most. Just going through, there's another, I was looking at the premises of The Bride. That sounds like a horror movie where, and I don't have a good sense for horror. We seem to have two movies coming out. I find that just really interesting about superheroes, but they're not like big budget superheroes with Secret Headquarters. A kid discovers the secret headquarters of a superhero, and then Samaritan, a famous superhero, goes missing. I don't know. It feels kind of weird that we have two, like, kind of, in air quotes, I don't know what superhero they're referring to, but, like, no-name superheroes, as in, like, not established property.
Yeah, so I know a little bit about both of these properties. Like, so Secret Headquarters is a big budget family entertaining movie, and it's Walter Scobell, who was the star of The Adam Project. He was, like, the younger version of Ryan Reynolds in that movie. He's kind of a kid who, like, basically he finds out that his dad, like, his parents are superheroes, basically. It's basically like the Spy Kids for a new generation. Like, that's the idea. And that sounds it could be really cool. And it's like, how did it take this long to make that movie, honestly, given the superhero era that we've been living in?
Okay, I was a Spy Kids stan as a kid, so I can respect that impulse.
Samaritan is much different. It's more of like a kind of like indie sort of take on the superhero genre. Julius Avery is a guy who has been kind of bouncing around trying to make these sorts of movies, and not all of them have been really coming together. I mean, like, his biggest break, I feel like, was that Cloverfield Paradox film, which just was a disaster. But the movie that he made before that, I think people liked a lot. And I think he made one movie after that I don't think hit, but I'm blanking on it now. But this is him kind of trying to square that circle again. And it's got, you know, it's got a pretty impressive cast. Sylvester Stallone.
Quick correction. Bob Fulton.
Yes.
Sorry. I think you're thinking of Julius Ona, who directed Cloverfield Paradox. Julius Avery is probably best known for directing Overlord.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why.
They have similar names.
Well, and they also, and Overlord was oftentimes discussed as maybe a part of the Cloverfield universe, and then ended up not being part of the Cloverfield universe. But for a while, I think it was intended to be, and then they decided not to do that. So that's, I always compare, like, merge those two people as one. So Okay, so Julius Avery is the director of that movie. and yeah, it's starring Sylvester Stallone, Siobhan Walton, Martin Starr, Dasha Polanco, Pilou Espiec, who is Theon's crappy uncle in Game of Thrones. I don't know if people remember Game of Thrones.
Euron,
a movie from a few years ago. A small TV show not many people watched. But yeah, so that is, yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. That feels like one of those things where it's like, is this going to be a thing, or is no one going to know this movie exists?
I don't know. Other than that, there's two stuff I'm looking at here where I'm like, what the hell are these movies? But they've got like big names attached to them.
You mean like Beast, which is Idris Elba?
Yeah, I'm specifically looking at Beast and Day Shift.
Idris Elba fights a massive rogue lion, as it is described in the plot synopsis.
I don't know. You're going to have to convince me that Charlton Copley is not going to turn out to be the lion, because, I mean, that would be the best possible version of that movie.
Would definitely be a better movie. Yeah, and Day Shift, man. Justin, what do you think about Day Shift? Are you excited for this?
I had a similar reaction to Noah, where I had not heard of this. It's just incredible to me that Jamie Foxx is starring in it, and that it's about vampires, and I'm just like, is this, we're still doing like this kind of movie? Like, okay. I honestly have no idea how to react to it.
Yeah, well, it's part of this push that Netflix has been doing for a few years now, where they're really trying to make big budget movies that could launch franchises. And so they tried this a number of times, and it really hasn't been hitting yet, really. But Day Shift is their latest example of that, where it's Jamie Foxx and Dave Franco, and Jamie Foxx plays this kind of blue collar pool worker who his pool cleaning job is just a front for his real job as a vampire hunter. It's like, okay, I mean that could be cool. It could.
I mean, I have a low key enjoyment of Supernatural, so maybe there's a way that this movie could vibe with me if it takes the right tone and doesn't take itself too seriously.
It feels to me like the sort of thing that really should be a TV show, though. I feel like it has more legs as the premise of a TV show than of a like a 2-hour big budget.
I don't know if this is the premise that I could see turning into like a franchise. As a TV show, maybe, but as like a film franchise, I don't know. Color me skeptical.
I will color you very skeptical.
But Alex, it's time for you to finally fess up. We all know that you are the biggest Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles stan in the world, and therefore all of your money is being saved for multiple screenings of Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I fully support Nickelodeon keeping this franchise alive. I have no particular interest in it. Back in 1993, I was the world's biggest Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan. I will be honest about that. But since then... they did an Easter animated special, and I owned it on VHS, and I used to watch it all the time. And it's like they go and they meet the Easter Bunny or whatever.
Oh my god!
It's truly another life.
Franchise Netflix should be pouring its funding into. The Ninja Turtles meet different holiday characters.
Yeah, I can't say I'm going to watch that, but I am. What I am interested in is Not Okay, which is a Hulu release that's coming from Quinn Shepard.
That one also sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it has Zoe Deutsch, Dylan O'Brien, and Mia Isaac. Mia Isaac has another film that I think we talked about earlier. I can't remember which other film she's in this summer, but she has another one in there that's pretty high profile. And the premise is this. It's a misguided young woman desperate for friends and fame fakes a trip to Paris to up her social presence. An incident takes place in the real world and becomes part of her imaginary trip. So I'm totally stoked for that. I mean, you know, Ingrid Goes West is a movie that I really liked a lot from a number of years ago now. That was Audrey Plaza and Elizabeth Olsen movie. I think this could kind of hit that same sort of vibe, and it's on Hulu, so it's easy access, and I'm definitely going to be watching it. So I'm really looking forward to that. Other than that, and Bodies, 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 there's not really anything else. I mean, Resurrection is a Andrew Siemens movie starring Rebecca Hall and Tim Roth. I've heard really good things about it. I've heard that it's really quite good. It also seems like a movie that I don't want to watch. So, because it just seems like, it's like what if we show someone who's like super depressed and then it becomes a horror movie? And there's a lot of movies like that, and I just am not interested in them. I think that it's great that they exist. They certainly can be a cathartic experience, but with rare exceptions, it just is not a place that I want to spend my mental time in, because I just, the real world is enough. So I'm not going to say I'm looking for, I'm not going to say I'm looking forward to that, but I love Rebecca Hall. And I think, Justin, are you looking forward to this?
I was going to say, like, she was just in a film with a similar premise, The Night House, which is very much a horror movie about real, like, emotions. Like, and, I've heard good things about this. There seems to be a lot. It seems to be very vague, which I'm like, okay, maybe I need to experience it as, you know, when I watch it. I like the Tim Roths in it. That's pretty cool. But yeah, I have to say, like, I definitely have become like a big Rebecca Hall fan over the years. But I also will say it'd be nice to see her do like a light comedy, because it just, I'm like, man, just like, it just seems like she's been doing like all this really extreme, like, you know, tour de force type horror movies. And I'm just like, man, couldn't she do like a lighthearted comedy? Like, that might be nice. Like, she can do so much. So it's just
she did star in Kong versus Godzilla, so that was a lighthearted comedy as far as I'm concerned.
Sure, yeah. From a certain point of view.
Yes.
yeah, I've heard good things about this as well. I've heard some people say like it's worth seeing but a bit uneven, which seems to be a theme for a lot of movies that are coming out this summer.
Yeah, and so, especially this August. Like, for instance, 892, which is coming out August 26th, which is directed by Abby Damaris Corbin, and has a crazy good cast. Jonathan Majors, John Boyega, Michael K. Williams in one of his last performances, Nicole Beharie, Connie Britton. But this came out at Sundance, and I feel like some people really liked it, but I feel like most people said that it was not quite the movie they were hoping it would be, you know? And I feel like that's kind of the reputation of that. So that kind of keeps me from jumping on it with too much enthusiasm. It seems like it'd be cool. It's like about this, like, military person who comes back from the war and he's having a hard time. And I think he, like, you know, takes like a hospital hostage or something like that. And I think that the reputation is that it's just like a bit too didactic for what you would hope it could have been given the talent assembled. But are you guys looking forward to it despite that kind of mixed reputation?
I might wait and see. I might wait and see what the general reception is when it's a bit more widely released.
I mean, if it's a chance to see another Michael K. Williams performance, maybe. Because that one hurt, guys.
Yeah, I know. Not to end our entire preview special on that note, I will also say that there is a movie that I'm not necessarily looking forward to, but I do think that I just wanted to mention, it's a Netflix original, it's coming out August 12th, called 13 the Musical, and it seems to be a musical comedy about a teenage boy who moves from the big city to a small town right as he's getting ready for his bar mitzvah, and that sounds like it could be cute. I don't know. It could be terrible. I mean, certainly it is making me think of Prom in like terrible PTSD flashback, because that Netflix comedy musical certainly a miss. So I hope that that's not what we're hitting. But it could be cute. So I mean, here's hoping that it could be that it is cute. We'll see. I will say that the cast includes Deborah Messing, Josh Peck, Rhea Perlman, Eli Golden, is the main kid, and J.D. McCrary.
James Corden isn't getting anywhere close to set, right?
I believe he is not in any way connected to this movie, so that is
all right. Then it has a chance. You're saying there's a chance.
I'm saying there's a chance. Justin, are you excited for this?
To be honest, I thought when I saw the title, I had two thoughts. One, this is either a musical version of 13, the Catherine Hardwicke coming of age film, or, believe it or not, for some reason, I think because it was more immediate in my mind, maybe because Noah wrote about it, I was reading something that Noah had written about this particular film, but for some reason my mind packed on PH, so I'm like, 13th the Musical? What? And then I just read, like, oh, okay, thank gosh. That would have been an ill-advised decision.
That in so many ways.
That shows you how much I...
Especially considering that young Eli Golden is the one starring in it. I don't think that would have been entirely appropriate in either case.
I mean, I have to say, my first instinct was, okay, the Unlucky 13, it's a horror movie musical, which, not the worst idea, in the right hands.
Okay. I did also want to briefly mention, as our last film on the list, is a movie coming out from Apple TV Plus, which, of course, did very well last year when it comes to film releases. This is a movie called Luck, which is a story of Sam, the unluckiest person in the world, who discovers the land of luck and must unite with magical creatures there to turn her luck around. I believe this is an animated film. It's starring Jane Fonda, Whoopi Goldberg, Simon Pegg, Lil Rel Howard, Flula Borg, a number of other people. And, you know, Apple TV Plus's animated stuff has been pretty spectacular, what they've put their money behind in the past. So there's a chance this could be good.
That is, again, didn't expect that from the title necessarily. I think my mind went to that Michael Mann series with Dustin Hoffman.
With all of the dead horses? No, yeah. That is, I don't think they made an animated adaptation of that.
Yeah.
But, okay, that is the summer of 2022, everyone. It is maybe not quite the summer we were expecting when we were thinking about what the summer might look like last year.
But it's the summer we deserve.
We'll find out if it's what we deserve as the summer progresses. But Noah, any final thoughts on this summer?
I mean, the stuff that I'm looking forward to is stuff that I'm genuinely excited about. You know, stuff like Nope and the next Thor movie. Yeah, and then the rest of it, I'll take it as it comes.
How about you, Justin?
Kind of in the similar boat, honestly. You know, I when I went into this, I was like, oh, there'll probably be some stuff that's really exciting that I haven't heard of. And I still feel like at the end of the day, the movies that I'm most excited for, I've been excited for like, you know, months on end at this point. So, you know, it's not to say that there couldn't be good stuff here. Maybe it'll just, you know, it's just a matter of time. You know, it is nice, kind of like last year, to have some streaming options in addition to stuff in the theater. So we'll see how it goes. But I will say, overall, maybe looking forward to the summer a little bit less than some previous summers.
Yeah, I would say probably less than some summers, more than last summer, which was, you know, a big wait and see kind of situation where we're like, maybe movies will be released, maybe they won't, maybe they'll be released in theaters, maybe just digital, maybe movie theaters will go out of business and they won't exist anymore. And so I feel like summer 2021 was a lot more emotionally fraught for me, at least. So there is at least that. There's some, you know, and the fun thing about this summer movie preview is that this is everything that we know right now. It certainly seems comprehensive, but as the summer progresses, more things might end up popping up, especially in late July and August. Sometimes those release dates take a little time to get cooking. So we'll see. Maybe the best movie of the summer hasn't even been announced yet. So then that is kind of the optimistic note that I'm going to end on. So for now, that's going to do it for us at Cinema Joe's. Justin, where can we find more of your work online?
You can find me at thecinemaverick.com. I'm also on Letterboxd at thecinemaverick. And I'm doing a podcast with Noah and with Luke Martin, which is called Podwork Angels, The Rush Hour, where we go through each episode. We go through one Rush album. We talk about some of our favorite songs, some not so favorite songs, favorite moments and that sort of thing. It's been a lot of fun. So check that out. You can find us on thepopbreak.com as part of the Breakcast feed.
Noah, how about you?
Yeah, I'm going to second that recommendation for Podwork Angels. And in addition to my work there and my work here in the Cinema Joes, you can all check out my written stuff on my blog at francenoir.blogspot.com.
As for me, you can follow me on Twitter and Letterboxd at Media Thinkings. You can follow all of my work on thepopbreak.com by clicking on thepopbreak.com and clicking the podcast tab at the top of the page. I host a couple of podcasts over there, including TV Break, which is on the Popbreak TV feed, where we talk about all the ins and outs of the world of television, including a featured review every month. Very similar to this podcast, just for television. So check that out. We talked for May. We talked about Under the Banner of Heaven, the new Andrew Garfield show, investigating the Mormon Church, which is definitely a heavy kind of experience, but worth checking out. It's created by Dustin Lance Brack, who many people might know from Milk. So definitely recommend that. If you're looking for something a little bit lighter, you can follow my other podcast over for thepopreak.com called Bill versus the MCU, where me and my co-host Bill Bodkin over on the Pop Break or over on the Breakcast feed talk about three or four Marvel films every month. This month we are starting phase three. So we're doing Captain America Civil War. We're doing Doctor Strange. We're doing Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. And we're doing Spider-Man Homecoming. So a lot of really fun conversations in this month's episode there. So definitely check out all of that stuff. You can also follow our show at Cinema Joes on Twitter. You can subscribe to us on all major podcast platforms. And until next time, guys, we're going to be talking about these movies for the next few months. So let's hope they're good. Right?